Hello, and welcome to a new edition of the ZTMR podcast. The ZTMR podcast is a production by ZTMR News, the home of intelligent news and analysis on Mozambique. If it's your first time listening, this podcast showcases some of ZTMR News' best content, featuring news and analysis from both the ZTMR team and special guests. After weeks and months of speculation, Frelimo have finally picked their candidate for this year's presidential election.
Camaradas, o nosso candidato, vou repetir perguntando, chama-se? Terminou a novela de especulações, é ou não é? Incluindo a especulação do terceiro mandato. Frelimo, oi!
Daniel Chapo was a surprise choice for most people, and if voted in on the 9th of October, would become Mozambique's fifth president. In this episode of the ZTMR podcast, we'll be finding out more about Frelimo's presidential candidate, how he was chosen, and what a Chapo presidency could mean for Mozambique. We now go over to Tom Bauker, Fernando Lima, and Tomas Kifas.
Okay, so welcome again to the ZTMR podcast. We're recording this on Tuesday, the 14th of May. 9 days have passed since Frelimo finally made their choice of the next presidential candidate. So almost certain to become the next president of Mozambique, although we won't entirely rule out the opposition. But in pole position, we now have Daniel Chapo, who I think was a surprise to pretty much everyone. I'm joined by my ZTMR colleagues, Tomas Kifas and Fernando Lima, who are going to run through what we know about Daniel Chapo. But I think we're going to start with, how was he selected? And did he really come out of left field, out of nowhere, as it seemed? Fernando, how surprised were you to see his name on the shortlist at the Central Committee meeting at the start of this month?
Well, I think everybody was surprised about that. And one of the reasons why he was elected, because to me, it seems that he was the less evil compared with the other options in that shortlist that nobody was aware. And if we can recall, the whole Central Committee got that shortlist in the early hours of Friday afternoon. We now have learned that Mr. Chapo himself was informed about his presence in a shortlist on that same Friday. So he was himself very surprised. So he left Inhambane to attend a Central Committee meeting, and he left the Central Committee meeting as presidential candidate. As Mr. Oscar Monteiro pointed out before, the composition of the Central Committee is pretty much oriented in favor of Nyusi. So what happened during the meeting was that his nucleus around him, it was negatively surprised to notice that Mr. Roque Silva was the presidential choice. And what we have seen was a kind of inner circle revolt against the president himself, because they were not in agreement with Mr. Roque Silva, the Frelimo Secretary General. So the other part of the story, I think more or less everybody is familiar. There were several attempts to include more people in a voting list. Finally, two other names were added. Also, those names did not get the support of the inner circle of President Nyusi. And so Chapo was the alternative choice to be voted, and they managed, meaning the inner circle of Mr. Nyusi and other segments of the Central Committee vote for Chapo, namely the people that were prepared to vote for the Celso Correia, and Chapo was the most voted candidate on the first round of elections at the Central Committee meeting.
He certainly seems a bit more of an attractive candidate than Roch Silva, who, I don't know, he's served as Secretary General for most of Nyusi's time in power, I think. Seems to be a man who is more interested in power for power's sake and keeping Frelimo at the top rather than really in the development of the country. Perhaps I'm being overly negative, but there does seem to have been some general relief that he was at least edged out and that Chapo came in. So, Tomáš, can you tell us what we know so far about Daniel Chapo? And I know you've had a bit of personal experience with him in a previous job as well. Just give us a quick rundown of his biography, if you would.
Daniel Chapo is not a person in Frelimo with a very long background in terms of governance and even in terms of professional experience. He started his journey at the top level of the government as an administrator of Nacala Velha. It didn't take much time because in 2015 he was moved to Palma District. Palma District was such a complicated district at the time because it was a time where public consultations for the LNG project was taking place. And there was some kind of tension between our local communities, the Anadarko company, multinational, which was the leader of the LNG project. And there was some sense of criticism by local communities on how the government was handling the consultation process. But then when Mr. Chapo arrived in Palma, one thing he tried to do was to create a kind of bridge between communities and the companies in the government. One of the things he said when he appeared for the first time in front of the communities in Palma was that he was Mr. Chapo. He wasn't coming there to change the things, but he wanted to help improve the relations of all the actors involved in that process. So by saying that, it was very remarkable because the profile or the picture of a governor in Mozambique is someone who is arrogant with a lack of humility. But Chapo, he showed himself as a very modest person, a person who wants to bring a different image of the government. So this is what he did. He gave a very good impression in Palma. And later on, he was transferred to Inhambane, where he became the government. During his track as a governor of Inhambane, he also didn't show some traits of an arrogant leader or a corrupt one. One of the good things right now with Mr. Chapo is that he is a candidate right now where we cannot find some bad aspects of him, like most of the potential candidates in at Frelimo, could be found. So yes, this is Mr. Chapo. He is a guy with a short profile in terms of leadership, but he is someone with such a good impression on every aspect as a leader.
Okay. Sounds like he's quite a nice guy, if not one with a particularly dynamic vision for how he wants to govern, rather coming in and smoothing over relationships. And it's notable that he seems to have been passed around jobs where he had to work on relationships between communities and international investors. Before Palma, he was at Nacala Velha, which is where Vale and Mitsui were building the international coal terminal, the coal export terminal there. So then he moved up to Palma, where Anadarko were preparing to work on the LNG project. That was before the insurgency started in Cabo Delgado. And then moved to be governor of Inhambane province, where, of course, Sasol have their gas extraction projects. So yeah, perhaps the outlook is good for international investors under a Chapo presidency, that he's someone who's not going to rock the boat there. But Fernando, do you have any inkling of a difference in direction in terms of the way Mozambique will be run? And to what extent will that be Chapo's own choice, or will he simply be guided by the party?
Well, the first indications we have go into that direction when he uses a metaphor about wood and the carpenter that works on the wood, meaning the wood being Frelimo, and he would be the carpenter working on that wood. But we all know that things have, they should be taken in a relative sense, meaning that all different actors, political actors in Mozambique, even with a strong fist from party authority, is all the different actors have made his own imprints, and Chapo will be no difference on that. And also from his personal background, it's someone with a strong personality, which it could be an inclination that he will have his own ideas about how to run the country, despite there's a lot of similarities comparing him with the current president, Philippe Nyusi, to be young, to have some academic, technical background behind, but not much political experience at central level. But the most important point, perhaps, is the fact that his appointment, it was received as a kind of relieved, not by Frelimo militants, but in terms of Mozambican society. So he managed to spread some kind of positive feeling across the Mozambican society, which is pretty good when the country is going through a quite difficult period.
I suppose the most important landmark in terms of being able to tell the direction his government will take is when he names his cabinet ministers. Do you have an idea at this point? I mean, that won't happen till January next year, but is he, I mean, one thing notable about him that we haven't mentioned is that he's relatively young. I think he's 47, isn't he? Born in 77, after independence. Is he likely to aim to appoint a cabinet of his contemporaries, or will he look to experience, or will he be pushed by the political commission to appoint powerful Frelimo heavyweights to appease various parts of the party?
Well, if you go through the tradition, you have your own choices, and the political commission needs to stamp your choices. We are aware of several occasions in which Nyusi was trying to push a number of his own appointees, including for the prime minister's position, and the political commission had opposed such nominations. So this is the normal procedure. And we know also that the different political families within Frelimo, as a tradition, they always bring their own candidates. There is also a tradition to bring in candidates from all over the country. So the president has some power to nominate his own personnel, but especially at the beginning, the team is much more of the choice of the political commission, or of the political commission's acceptance, than from the candidate or the elected president itself.
Okay. Tomas, another interesting thing that happened this week. So after Roque Silva missed out on becoming the candidate, he stood down as Secretary General. So now Chapo has been appointed as the temporary Secretary General. What do you conclude from that in terms of his position within Frelimo? Is he being immediately elevated to high positions of power, or is this just a pragmatic move?
Well, I think it's a pragmatic move because as a Secretary General of Frelimo, he will now start taking part in the Central Political Commission meetings, which take place every fortnight. So he will be updated on all the things and most important decisions at the top level of the party and the country, as we know that most of those who are part of the Political Commission of Frelimo are also part of the government, and they are the ones that decide the direction of the country. But also, he as a Secretary General of Frelimo, he has the opportunity now to nominate people. He thinks that the best first secretaries at the provincial levels, which he can now start building his team, first of all, at the party. And then after all, if he wins the president of Frelimo, we then can choose his cabinet for the government. So yes, it's an important move and it's a pragmatic move. And now he's going to become more familiar with what's happening at the party level and also at the country level in terms of politics dynamics.
And assuming he wins the presidential election in October, which I shouldn't be taking as read, but if he becomes Mozambique's next president, tradition would also seem to dictate that he will then become president of Frelimo. Fernando, do you foresee any obstacles in that happening? I remember 9 years ago, Nyusi had a bit of a fight to get wrest that position away from his predecessor, Gabuza. Do you see anything like that on the cards?
Yes and no. It's there's a mixed feeling on that, not because of what happened before, because before it was a very strong party president against a very weak, not well-known president to become a party president. At this point, there is a hopeful candidate eventually having a lot of sympathy from his party. And you should also take notice of a recent debate in which people were discussing if a president should be also a party president. I think to a certain extent is an artificial debate, since it was directed mostly against Nyusi himself, not as a constitutional debate or a fundamental debate. And since it's even in international terms, nothing prevents you to be president of a political organization and also being head of state. But my feeling, maybe I'm wrong, but my feeling is that since you have a new candidate, the tendency will be to continue the tradition for the time being, I would say, to have Chapo, if elected head of state, also being the head of the party, despite the previous scenario in which Nyusi would appoint his choice as a presidential candidate. One of the idea that have been entertained by both Chissano and Gabuza would be for him to retain the chair of the party. But then it's up to the internal dynamics of Frelimo, and I think the internal dynamics will move on to have Chapo chairing the party and the state if he gets elected president of Mozambique.
Okay, this brings me on perhaps to something I wanted to mention at least briefly just before we wrap up the podcast, which is the opposition parties. RENAMO, the main opposition party, is having its congress starting tomorrow and the day after in the Zambezian town of Altamalokwe. The Congress is due to elect the party leader and also the party's candidate, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the same person. One of the interesting things that's happened is that they've come up with a set of rules as to who can be leader of the party, and that excludes Venancio Mondlane, one of the noisiest candidates for that position, either of president of the party or, I think more importantly for him, he'd like to run for president of the country. So we will see if Renamo decide that they can split those two roles, but there's a lot of complicated dynamics going on there, and you can read our daily briefing leader article from yesterday, the 13th of May, for more insight into that. Fernando, do you see anything unexpected coming out of the Renamo Congress in Alto Molocue, or do you think Osufo Momad is going to hang on to both the leadership of the party and being the party's candidate for president?
Yeah, giving you a very realistic answer, no, I do not expect anything exciting. And so Osuf will be the candidate and he will renew as president, despite I would like to be wrong. And honestly, if Renamo wants to have a serious dispute on a presidential race, yes, he should have a different candidate. So the issue is on the cards, but I really doubt that Renamo will react to that challenge.
Tomas, do you agree? What are you hoping for from the Renamo Congress?
Yeah, it's a very important question and a difficult situation for the party members, because what is at stake right now is the direction and the future of the country. If they choose also for Momad, I think they're making the wrong choices, and the party will risk losing many seats at the parliament and so on. If the party members decide then to decide positively about the future of the country, then they need to make a different choice rather than also from Maide. But I agree with the Fernando Lima suggesting that also from Maide might be chosen as the candidate and the next the president for Renamo. But I want to be very optimistic and expect a different outcome of this meeting tomorrow.
Well, even as an impartial observer, just from the point of view of having some interesting news to write, it'd be fun to see something else happen in Alto Molocue this week. The MDM have not given us much excitement by appointing their current leader, Lutero Simango, as their presidential candidate. I think that's the only candidate, at least from the main parties that we have so far. Okay, well, stay tuned to Zetamar News across our various channels to see how this plays out. But thanks ever so much, Fernando and Tomas, for giving us your insights into this really important development in Mozambique. Until the next time, thank you for listening to the Zetamar podcast. Check us out at www.zetamar.com, and we'll be back soon. Bye-bye.